January 18, 2025. Parenting chat.
Hi everyone, I'm so glad to be with you guys today. So let's start our meeting.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much, sir, for all your teachings. I am deeply grateful from my bottom of my heart. I have the following question that comes to me like a couple of times, and I try to ignore it to Kyra, and I would appreciate if you could help me to answer and give her some deeper understanding. She saw a wasp which was stepped on by somebody and it was suffering. She showed me, and I put the wasp to the side to save from others stepping on it. But she asked me, why are you letting that wasp to suffer, mommy? It would be better if you could kill it, or it is the kindest act to end his suffering. You are making it worse for him. This kind of a similar event, it took place twice in my life. Once her principal stepped on it and killed it, and she was asking me, what would you do? That was the first situation. And the second one, I witnessed it to myself. I didn't know how to answer this question, sir, and I would greatly appreciate your help or guidance on this.
Well, I don't always have the right answer, the best answer. I would just say I'm doing what I think is right. I don't know what is right. I don't know. You make a lot of sense. Yes, it will not suffer and it doesn't die anyway. But this is the way I feel like is the best. But if you feel differently, then you act differently because you both had very good intention, right? There is not one right way. There is only, we are only an instrument of doing and happening. So I would just agree with her philosophy 100%, but say that's the way you felt. You didn't have the courage to put an end, and maybe this is the way it was supposed to go. But the best thing is to admit to our children we don't know. It could have gone that way or this way, and I choose that this way, so who knows what is best. And that's all I can say on that, because her reasoning is perfect, you know? But again, me, like yourself, would rather move them to the side because I don't have the courage, to be honest with you. So, yeah, and also, Anita, each situation differs from one another. But I'm sure whatever you say is the right thing.
Thank you, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Our first question, Sachin, on our last call, we had a mother share that she asks her child every day, in what, in who, and where do you see God? And we were wondering, would you recommend this for us? We teach our children that we are the light and how to do the trust meditation. Is that enough? How else would you recommend that we teach our children about God, practically speaking?
It depends on the parents. If you are a religious person and you were grown up with the name of God, and you want to teach a God that everybody thinks is separate from you, and it is to fulfill your desire when you surrender, then you go in that way. But the best way for children, while they're still children, to understand that when we say, see God in everything, like I did in my kids when they were very little, I had explained to them that that silence, that beingness that it is permeating through everything, just like air, that is God in silence. So when I would tell my children on the way to a school, where do you see God? And they would say mountain or this and that. They had a deeper understanding. Or if one of them, like I said before, said, I see God in flat tire, it just felt like he just didn't want to fear flat tire in the car anymore. So it's not a bad idea to just say, where do you see God? Meaning that you remind your child that there is a higher power that is looking after you and is everywhere. But it's also beautiful to emphasize the omnipresent of this energy and always taking it back to the child again and say, if you see it in a mountain, you must see it in yourself. You must acknowledge it in yourself because that's where it is. In other words, everything that they try to visualize, that omnipresent God, they also should be able to do that with their own heart. This way it's not another idol outside of them, even if they try to visualize it in everything they see. So the most important point that I'm trying to make for the parents as well as their children is we start from within our own heart. When we say to our child, you are the light of God, and the light of God surrounds you, just like Baba says, then the light of God is everywhere. Then can you visualize it in everything you see? So again, it starts from the heart out, rather than again taking this truth and making it more of a worldly experience and worldly knowledge. I hope I answered the question, but if the question has a follow-up about this that might not be clear, please come forward. Go ahead, Radha.
Thank you, Sat. The second question was my question. My son recently asked, if everything in this world that he sees and does is real, I asked him, do you think it's real? And he said, I think so, but I'm not sure. I was wondering if you could help guide me on how to talk to him about reality.
What did he say? He said, if everything in this world is real.
Yes, we were sitting at dinner. And
no,
he looked,
I know, but that is a half a sentence.
The thing that we see and do in this world, is it real or is it like a dream?
I'm thinking about his age and where he stands. You should say it is real because it's all God. It is temporary as a body and mind. That's all you need to say at this age. So we bring the attention, because he is so sensitive, we bring his attention to temporariness of this world, that people come and go, the situation comes and goes, so he is not affected so much with it. Which is true, it is impermanent. But at the same time, he needs a stability, and that would be the allness of God, which makes it everything real, that is invisible and perfect.
Thank you, Sat. We were worried about how to answer this question because we didn't want him to feel, like you said, unstable or scared even.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it was my question, because there is no one remedy for everybody. We really have to know our children. And I come to realize, guys, that we really don't know our children. We know somewhat their behavior, but we really don't know deep down. So this is why I say, watch your child, watch your child. More than interfering with the child, watch them. Because this is how we can actually advise them properly and not uniformly. Even with a bad behavior, I would accept it in some kids to have a bad behavior when I see frustration, because that frustration eventually turned to spirituality. And in some kids, frustration could become meanness, become cruelty. So it's very important to for us to watch empty our children without any preconcept and acceptance of any type of ideas. Okay.
Thank you, Sat. Our next question. When are children capable of understanding the concept of meditation? Whenever I tell my 11-year-old daughter to sit with me and meditate, she says it's boring. It's just sitting down and doing nothing. Yeah. She won't complain about going to a class, but if she's sitting to do meditation, she's complaining. Is it too early to ask her to do that? How do I explain the wonderful things that come with meditation? Should I even continue to do this with her?
Yeah, that's the problem, that we say, let's sit down and meditate, or let's sit down and eat your broccoli, or let's sit down and watch the program on TV that you're not interested at all. Children, either they have to be interested in the activity or understand the reason for activity. Again, I've said it before, we don't say, let's go meditate. We say, let's have a little bit of silence sitting together in order to calm our body and mind, and to see if we can feel the joy and the peace. And we don't force them, but we make an atmosphere that it will affect them whether they are in the room with us or not, which means definitely candles, definitely a holy looking area, definitely a nice soft music. And the word meditation for children denotes something forceful. So let me share again my approach. We just went into the Baba room when my kids were from 2 years on. That's when I got to know Baba, when my younger child was 2 years old. Not even two, one or one and a half. We always went in that room. This was something the family did. We would go and sit in that room, and they would come with their pajama joyfully. We would sing and dance, and then we would put a music on and tons of candles, and then we would be quiet and they would fall asleep. So it was never a question of, let's go do this. We just did what we did before sleep. Now, because your child is 11, 12 years old and is already has her own opinion and should have, then I would say, I would go in there and say, honey, come and see the room, or come and see the area. If you feel like it, then join me and we can sing together a little bit, or we can do some drawing or something. And then we stay quiet before we go to sleep. And then also you can explain and say, when your mind is quiet before you go to sleep, it's like spitting all the impression of the day away, and you start next morning fresh. Go ahead, Radha.
Thank you. Our next question. How do we explain the purpose of life to kids? Sometimes we discuss God and life, but is it too much at this point to explain that the purpose of life? At some point, I'd like to tell my children so they know that the purpose of life is higher than what they think, and they don't get too involved in material things. But I don't know when it's an appropriate time.
It is not. It is not. They need to experience this life. They need to experience their destiny. The tools we give is how to deal with their what is to come in their life. We teach them how to let go of fear. We teach them the quality of fear. We teach them the quality of frustration. We teach them how to let go. We don't teach them the goal of life because, first of all, their life really doesn't have a goal to explain it. But if you mean the higher, which you do mean the higher thing, they need to find their own way. I think by living, not preaching, by giving them tools as an art of living, not as a religion, you have equipped them with how to handle life, how to look at life. And because they are our children, they will find their way. One of my sons came to me when he was older and is still very young and said, "Mom, I need to find my own way," even though he had gone to India many times with me. And I totally encouraged him. I said, "Absolutely, you go, you do you, whatever it is." Because I know that I had given them a good foundation, that they would choose something just as good as what they had when they were. To make a long story, an unbelievable situation happened to him when he went to find it. And this situation showed him that where he was from childhood with Baba was exactly where he needs to be. But he had to find out on his own. And I was very happy for him to be so independent. So if we keep talking about the higher goal in life, we're not allowing them to find their own higher goal. But the foundation that the parents on this phone are putting for their children, they have nothing to worry about. Having said that, if the child is really frustrated or has some sort of mild depression or something like that, then we can say that through a spirituality, you really find yourself. But that's pretty much it. Go ahead.
Thank you. The next question. You teach us that with trust, there is no need to strive because everything will be provided. I experience this. And I share this with my children, and yet I also feel it's important to teach them to work hard. How do I give them both? What is the balance between these two, if I should be doing that at all?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. It seems like you either have to be this way or that way, and that's not true at all. Is bringing these two together, and I'm sure that the father or mother asked this question, wanted to know how to bring these two together. Whatever you do, do it with trust. Whatever you do, do it without an anxiety because you trust the promise. Whatever you do, don't worry about the outcome of it because you are trusting. It's not about not taking a creative thought about what you are going to create or do in your day-to-day life. Is about the story about the creative thought or a thought that can solve a problem. is the concern, is the worry, is the fear, is the rush, all of that sentiment in the thinking that is not necessary. And doing it with a trust is complete. Doing it without trust, we are in the middle of contradiction of the mind. In other words, the mind can say one minute, I think this is the right way to do your homework, and maybe another one says, why don't you go play instead? So, and that carries on in our marriage, in our work, in everything, if we don't remedy it. So just explaining that you do everything with trust, you come up with beautiful idea with the trust that all is well, all is perfect. And we also need to explain what this perfection means. Perfection has nothing to do with what we are doing, is what we are holding on to, is the perfection of omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. It is not about the situation, although the situation gets affected by it. It is admitting and standing on the ground of stability of God. Go ahead, Radha.
Thank you, Sat. Our last question. My daughter recently got sick, and she asked me a few times why people have to get sick. I wanted to explain it like most precious does, but I didn't because I wasn't sure if she could really understand this. What is the best reply I can give to her?
Oh God, that's what sent me on a spiritual path. Exactly what she said. Why is there suffering? Oh, geez, it's a very, very good question. I think she needs to find out why herself. She needs to question it more and more. Given an answer, it will finish her search of finding out. I would tell her it's a very, very good question. Question it more whenever you feel like it. And I'm sure the answer would come from within your own self. And also, when she's not feeling good, which is very irrelevant to her question, also emphasize on the thing that she can heal herself. She has the capacity to heal herself. If she not emphasize in her mind about her not feeling good and go beyond the not feeling good to a place of perfection. Well, it was very nice to hear everyone's care in a way that the world, not too many people are after finding the true answer, the true way of life. You know, there is so many books, so many advice on Instagram, on Facebook, on news, do's and don'ts, and only thing I can say is blind leading a blind. Please go to your heart as a mother and father. All the answers are there. This is what I did, and this is what I encourage you. Of course, on the parenting, you take advantage of this time. If you have a question that you could not get an answer, I welcome you to bring it, but I just want to also tell you the source of knowledge is within your own heart. Seek it. And also, once you feel in contact with this omniscient self that does not order you around, is a very, very loving, caring source, then you can share it with your children. What I mean by that is, I told Arado, and I think maybe a few other people, that you sit down with your child when you want to solve or know something, or solving something in front of you that you need to do as a family. Just sit in silence and see what each of you gets from within, and then compare it with each other, so that you create in your household this feeling of going in for solution rather than going out. Now, if anybody has sharing or have their own question that has come up, we have a few more minutes.
Hi, Satyam. Thank you for this time. I just wanted to share something quickly. Last night, we were talking about something, and Mansoor mentioned that to share even that our mind does not have the capability of knowing everything and solving everything. And out of blue, Sherwin said, but the good thing is that we have something else, and pointed at his heart. And I feel more and more the impact of you and what your direct advice in your life and in his understanding. Just want to say thank you and express my gratitude. Thank you so much.
Very glad to hear that, Barnas. Thank you for sharing.
Hi, Seth. This is Anita. Thank you so much, Seth. Thank you. It's a very simple word to say, because me and Kyra, we received a huge blessings from you. And I see a huge difference in Kyra. With the life situation, me and Kyra, we are living currently, I see this little one is keeping very calm and navigating very easily, which was my biggest worry when I have taken the step. Everything is going well with the grace that we receive from you. When I started this call, we used to argue a lot. Her agitation and the frustration comes up in a way of answering to me. We don't do it nowadays. We live simple. We listen. She runs to me in the morning and asks, what else you want me to help? And then morning's becoming easier. Even if I'm late 5 minutes, I don't bring the anxiety in me. Thank you so much, Seth, because she is inspiring me in some ways. Even when I have it, I look at myself and then I cut. I have to learn from her. So this platform, it helped me so much to feel this. Thank you so much, Seth.
Yeah. Well, your child, your daughter, when I look in her eyes, she's pretty advanced. So yes, I'm not surprised that you're learning from her. She has a spiritual background, and I can see it in her eyes. I can see our connection through her eyes and her looking at mine. There is a kinship between us, unspoken kinship. So you're lucky to have her.
Yeah, truly it is. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Gemini here. Thank you so much for having me in this call. I'm learning a lot. Especially you've said a lot of things. I have to hear it again. But some of the things that I took it today was watch your child. I believe that I don't know my kid. That is true. That's what I in the bottom of my heart it says I don't know my kids. And you said the same. So I should continue to watch my kids rather than interfering with them and let them live their life and give them a good foundation. And that starts with working on myself, seeking the answers in me. So thank you so much for having me in this call, and thank you for all the beautiful words you said today.
Yes, Janani, I'm very, very glad. I'm very, very glad you came, because it's, as a parent, it's so important that we guide our children in a more eternal peace and not so much give them do's and don'ts to impress the society. I was not a child that would impress the society. But my frustration did me a lot of good. And yes, the reason I want everyone to watch their children more than interference is because their child's soul has gone through many incarnation and reincarnation. It's hard to gauge just by ordinary way of parenting. They come here to get rid of their weaknesses, not to pile more fear and anxiety. So by watching them, we'll learn where their weakness is as we watch our own self. You said a very good point that I'm glad I'm on the phone to help myself. By helping ourselves, by knowing how to deal with our fear and hesitation and resistance, then we're equipped to really watch our child and come in the right time and give them something that they can get rid of their own weakness. This is the arena of waking up, this birth or any birth. So why waste it?
Sure, son. I hope to see you in person one day.
You're doing very well. I like to hear from the fathers what's the difference they feel with the understanding they gave to themselves. Now they can deal with their kids.
Hi, Sat. This is Vijay. There's several big changes for me. For one is that I think parenting used to take away from my own peace quite a bit, because I would leave that silence in order to parent and tell them what to do. And now I'm able to bring that silence more into my parenting, where I'm not leaving that foundation myself. And at the same time, it has more benefit to the kids because I'm doing less. I'm showing by my example rather than my words, which weren't really going anywhere. I would give them the same lectures over and over, and I was busy and I was doing and my mind was moving, and I would lose my peace. And now it's all become one. Parenting has become part of my life, part of my spiritual life, and I feel that the kids are seeing that in me and getting more stability out of it.
Amazing. Ah, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. Beautiful. Can you imagine how much you took away their peace by hurrying them and doing things and rushing? Now, your harmony is giving them peace too. I love that.
Thank you so much, Sad. Still working on it. Still have my moments, but
yeah, we all do have moments, but just the fact that you're realizing this and you're striving for more of this than that, it just makes the situation so much more harmonious.
Hi, Sajjan. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Mansoor.
I was not a regular attendant to these meetings for a while. Processed the documents, and I am reading on all the past exchanges and teachings that you provided over time. And I'm so grateful to have that opportunity to make up for my for that. There's so many aspects that I'm learning from you, of course, about my own self, but about how to apply them to my son. One of the things you mentioned is as they get older, don't repeat. You know, they're going to be resistant to hearing that they're the light. So just wait for when they are hurting, and that's a good time opportunity for them to hear that and to exercise that and to see that. Just the other day, I want to give an example. He was having a panic attack because he was so far behind. It was late at night, and it was really a bad situation for him. I just kind of helped him calm down and, you know, just see that none of that fear is him. And you mentioned helping them understand the quality of the fear and the quality of anxiety. And so I was in the context of teaching him math, for getting him ready for tomorrow's exam. When he calmed down, I said, see, this, you're the same person. You don't have to, you know, go with that. You're not that fear. So many other things that you've taught us, and I try to put to work, and they all work so amazing. I'm just beyond grateful for how much insight you've given me to apply. So that's what I can share. Thank you.
Beautiful, yeah. Look at that. Just a few minutes of talking about fear, you have put a seed in his heart and his mind that will be effective the remaining of his life. So isn't that better than saying, oh, you don't fear, just do your homework. They have to understand what the quality of fear is and how to release it. And every time a child has released the old impression in themselves, you have allowed that child to experience his divinity. Imagine that.
Yeah, if I can add, before you taught us all these great wisdoms, my only focus was to get him ready for society and just teach him, you know, some worldly skills. I mean, I'm doing that too right now, but my focus, and thanks to you, my focus and my just the main agenda is to teach him to understand, go back to his own self and to experience peace and not make concepts even out of spirituality. Like, meditation is not like something we have to do. You know, I was explaining to him the other day, you know, he said that you're going to go to your room and meditate. I said, you know, all I do is stay silent. It's not something I do. And he just watches me and he and he sees this and he's learning in action. Just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Let me share something very important. When a soul is born in the body, as we all are, I'm talking about these realms, I'm talking about the creation of Earth. The destiny of that child rose. It is not our job as a parents to pull and push this unfoldment of humanhood in them. In other words, pushing them to study a lot or pulling them into another or asking them to become a doctor or this and that. This will go whether we force or we don't force. But what they were born for is how to deal with this rolling of the wheel of this karmic rebirth. So imagine that the worldly affairs is already going to happen the way it happens. The only chance we have is how to look at it, how to deal with it, how to advance with the situation at hand. The tendency of a child to study is born with it. The tendency of a child not to study, the tendency of a child to become a certain role in their life is already there. But what we don't know as a human, how to decrease suffering and pain during this travel. So you, in helping him with his math, is an ordinary event that, again, it already happens, whether you do it or not. It just happened that you need to do it because you're in the role of a father. I'm trying to explain the importance of what we're doing. It is the art of living, not only living on this realm, but other realms. So how lucky we all are to be guided to all of this understanding and the truth of how to look at this situation of life on Earth. By investing in ourself, which translates in every role that we play, whether it's a mother, father, cousin, grandchild to someone, it translates to branches out into all the roles we play on this arena of play of God. Well, on that note, namaste to all of you. Have a wonderful weekend.